Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so that we may be open to your word made flesh among us. In your name. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Remember that phrase? Does anybody still use that phrase today? I'm not sure. But you know, that was our defiant response when anybody ever made fun of us. Or anybody tried to put us down. It was kind of a na-na-na-na-na. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Now, the only problem is that's a lie, isn't it? Names do hurt us. Put-downs do hurt us. And they hurt us sometimes really bad. It doesn't take much, and this is part of our human nature, it doesn't take much for an individual or a group of people to find or to spot something in another person to make fun of. Something that's just a little different. For example, I got picked on a lot when I was growing up because my name was so different. And you probably have something very similar that you remember growing up. Anything, any little thing that was different, people would pick at that. You know, but our kids today, they go through a different form of being put down and hurt. A different type of bullying. And that's found in social media. That's something we didn't have when we were growing up. Something that exists now for many of our young people. Because it takes that lie, that distortion, that gossip, and it throws it into an ever-widening circle of people impacting and touching others and putting in more harm and hurt on that individual. Words are powerful. Our words are powerful, and they can be used for tearing people down, or they can be used for lifting people up. How about this one? If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Ever use that phrase? Has anybody ever used that phrase on you? Yeah, you know, sometimes it seems almost literally like we've said it 1,000 times to someone and they never seem to listen. And sometimes our words are not very effective, especially when we're talking to children, talking to pets, and, okay, talking to our spouses sometimes is the same thing. Sadly, our words can be effective in a very, very negative way. You know, when the tables are turned and we're not the ones who are being picked on, but now we are the ones who are picking on other people. We are the ones who are making fun of others or putting them down. When we are the ones who say some hurtful things, we say some lies, or we share some gossip about someone. Those kind of words inflict as much pain on others as they do on ourselves. And the problem is that once we speak those words, we can't get them back. We can't call them back. We can be very good at using our words, but sometimes we do it in a very, very wrong way. Now here's a big difference between our word and God's word. God's word always has an impact. And it always has a powerful, uplifting impact. Think about the power of God's word. Genesis tells us that God spoke the words and it happened. He said, "Let there be light," and light appeared. He said, "Let the dry lands appear," and the waters separated, and the waters went into the oceans, and dry land appeared. He spoke, and the sun, the moon, and the stars appeared into space. Hebrews 11:3 tells us, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made from things that are visible." The Word of God. In our gospel lesson, John tells us a wonderful truth about Jesus. He says, Jesus is the Word, and that's capital W. The Word. And it tells us that Jesus, the Word, was with God from the very, very beginning. He was in God. And he was part of the creation. And John tells us that the Word, the capital W, Jesus, was sent in human flesh in our form to accomplish God's purpose, to carry out God's will, to live out God's command. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. To go back again, our words are powerful. But the words that are harmful, the words that are hurtful, are the ones that are sinful. And the sins are all those things that we misspeak about others. All those intentionally harsh words we speak, every bit of gossip, every bit of hurtful thought or action, every hate or envy or greed. Romans 3, verses 12 to 18 says, all, and that means all of us, have turned away from God. We have all gone wrong. No one does what is right, not even one. Their words, our words, are full of deceit, deadly deceit. Wicked lies roll off their tongues, and dangerous threats like snakes' poisons from their lips. Their speech is filled with bitter curses. They are quick to hurt and kill. They leave ruin and destruction wherever they go. They have not known the path of peace, nor have they learned the experience and the reverence of God. Ouch! Ouch! That hurts. It hurts because it's so true. Well, over 500 years ago, a German monk by the name of Martin Luther, he wrestled with those words of scriptures. He wrestled and fought with his relationship with God. And for Luther, it was something that never left his conscious thought. Day after day, he fought that question of, what must I do to be pleasing to God? He wondered, how do I become acceptable before God? How can I stand before this angry, this vengeful, judgmental God, which is how Luther was taught God was? How can I stand before Him? And then if God is righteous and holy, and if I'm such a sinful person, Luther said, then He has no other choice but to punish me, to send me to hell. How do I measure up to God's righteousness? Well, righteousness is one of those church words that maybe needs a little bit more explanation. To be righteous, to be in a right relationship with God, means that we are able to stand before God. We are able to be acceptable to God. We are able to find true and everlasting forgiveness by God. That's what righteousness means. And Luther discovered through the power of the Holy Spirit that all that righteousness, being acceptable before God, is a gift. It is a gift of grace. It is an act of love from God. It is a costly act of love from God that God grants to you and me, undeserving as we might be. Well, this is how it came about, this understanding of a gift. Martin Luther was a professor at the University of Wittenberg, and he was teaching a semester class on Paul's letter to the book of Romans. And he was preparing a lecture when he came across this passage in Romans 3. The first half of it we've already read, but it's this part, verses 21 and following, that had a really impact, it really impacted Luther. Paul writes, "The law and the prophets tell how we become acceptable. And it isn't by obeying the law of Moses. God treats everyone alike. He accepts people only because they have faith in Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God treats us much better than we deserve. And because of Christ Jesus, He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sin. God sent Christ to be our sacrifice. Christ offered His life's blood so that by faith in Him, we could come to God." That righteousness, the ability for you and I to stand before God, to be acceptable to God, Luther discovered and has taught that is a gift to all of us, all who believe in Jesus Christ. It is a gift given to you and me free of price, because that price was paid through our Savior's blood. It is a gift, Paul tells us, received by faith, by trusting. Trusting in the Word. Trusting in the Word of God. Trusting that what God says, God means. And that Word of God had a profound, life-changing effect on Martin Luther. In fact, that became a world-changing event. For our sins, Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. He took that penalty of our sins, the penalty of death. He took it upon Himself. And that Word of God accomplished for God what you and I could not do for ourselves. And all because of God's purpose and God's plan, after 3 days, Christ was raised again. That the Son of God was given new life, speaking and proclaiming an even louder word. The Word. And through death and resurrection, we are acceptable to God. We are forgiven before God. And that Word, capital W, has authority. Has authority in all of the earth and authority in our lives. It is that living Word within us that creates faith and trust. We celebrate the Reformation this month not because of what happened 500 years ago. We celebrate it because of what happens day in and day out in our lives even today. We celebrate it because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because what God's Word declares to you and me that we're not guilty. That our sins are forgiven. Scripture gives us the image that God has cast our sins far away from us as if they were buried in the deepest oceans. And that's the Word of God. A Word that God speaks that we can trust. We can trust that living Word that promises us forgiveness, promises us life, promises that you and I stand acceptable before God through the Word, through the power, life, death, and resurrection of that Word, Jesus Christ. In His name, Amen.